Continue the shiur in Sichah Yisaran, Seif Kuf Ayin Zayin, paragraph 177. Belshazzar tells Benazal's Sichah, Benazal's words to one of his Talmidim. Benazal encouraged very strongly his Talmud. Of course, it was reported to posterity. These words are reported then and recorded by the Belshazzar in the Sichah Yisaran. Benazal's words encouraging the Talmud and encouraging all future Talmidim to be always besimcha. Always besimcha despite the difficulties, despite the weather, despite any setbacks. Always be besimcha. Benazal said it is only fitting to be besimcha, to be happy about what? Be happy with Hashem. Now, of course, a person could say, who understands the greatness of Hashem? Who can understand Hashem? To know, to be happy with Hashem. And I said, trust me, because I understand Hashem to a great enough degree, and therefore, trusting that Benazal can be very happy with Hashem. In addition, Benazal said to this Talmud, to his Talmidim, it is also very fitting for you to be happy with me, or about me, to be overjoyed, elated, that you were zeche to have a Rebbe like myself. This Benazal said to this Talmud. It's something that we have to think very deeply about, take very much to heart. Because Benazal said it to a Talmud, to his Talmud. A Talmud means not one who sought Benazal then, but one who is a Talmud of Benazal, even today, or in future generations. So anybody today who feels that he is close to Benazal, that he is a Talmud of Benazal, should be overjoyed that we are zecher, let's hope that we are all included, that we are zecher to have Benazal for our Rebbe. Benazal said this is something to be very happy about. It means that this should be uppermost, one of the greatest items of simcha in the heart and mind of a Jew, who is zecher to that. This we must take to heart every day. Ever a person, chas v'sholom, feels depressed, ever, chas v'sholom, he has some kind of atzvus or worry, and he wants to get out of this depressed feeling, stop and think for a second. Benazal is my Rebbe, and that should send a thrill of joy, a joyous feeling coursing through every one of his veins and arteries, whose mind and heart. Benazal is my Rebbe. I am a Talmud of Benazal. Therefore, again, we say that if a person is not besimcha, there is something missing. He cannot really claim to be a Talmud of Benazal. He cannot really be a Breslover. He can't, because if a person is truly a Breslover, he should be filled with simcha always. Just that thought alone. I'm lucky I'm a Breslover. Same simcha as a person should say, how fortunate that I was created a Jew. Shalei Yassani Goy, through a miracle, through an act of Hashem, through Hashem's will, I was created a Jew, rather than a chas v'sholom being created a goy. Or a person could have been created for all purposes. He could have been walking around as a horse. There might be going a horse, not for the act of kindness of heaven. It might be an animal. See these animals walking the streets? Two-footed animals, four-footed animals, or six-footed insects. Who knows, you might be crawling under a kitchen sink. And then, through this miracle, we created human, not only human, but a Jew. That's something to be very happy about. Also, not only that, but the fact that we are fortunate enough to be a Talmud of Benazal, Bristol. So it is certainly an absolute crime, a part of any person, to ever be atzvus. There's no bigger crime than that. Therefore, the Benazal calls that a poisonous bite of the original serpent. Bite of the serpent is, the nachash is atzvus, sadness. This Benazal said to, this Talmud the Benazal said to, that sometimes a person finds it difficult to be happy, to get into a happy frame of mind. So he said, do something even that is not a dovish shebigdusha, something that's holy. Going into a happy frame of mind, wow, I just learned the Tesvus, or I'm going to sit down and learn the Blat Gemara. Some people don't find too much to be happy about because they'd rather be outside playing ball. So in that case, then think of of your favorite team winning a game. Let that bring you into Simcha. You're in Simcha, then sit down on the Black Gemara. That should lead you into the Simcha of Ruchnius. But no matter what it is, do something to get into Simcha. Even if it's something physical, something Gashmi, is not the Dovah Shem Gush, Dovah Choyl, it is, the Tachlis is to get into Simcha. And this fits in with Avinu Zal's words, it is to get into a mitzvah, you can do anything. This is called a mitzvah gedela. It's a very great mitzvah to be b'simcha, tamid, always, always be b'simcha. Lassendel says that one time Abenazal was standing towards evening, towards dusk, it was getting dark. He was looking out of the window, very nostalgically, very sadly. Abenazal said, look at the time, how quickly time passes. Not just the day is coming to an end, but this is how a person's life goes. Life is ebbing, life is leaving, and there's so much to do in this world. Look at how fast time is going away, time is escaping, how fleeting time is. Now you must grasp quickly time before it gets away from you, because time is life. A person has so much to accomplish, don't let life get away from you, accomplish it. Before Abenazal's Estalkus, Abenazal said, just very close to his passing, Abenazal said that he's already reached a madrega, a level that is so high that it's impossible to go any higher while cloaked, while imprisoned in the physical body. Because a person has a certain, the greatest person, has a limit to how high he can reach in the physical body. Like Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki lo yirani hodam v'choy. No person can see me, Hashem said, while he is alive. After he passes away, he can see me. What is meant by that? There's a certain level that a person can reach in the heavenly world. So tzaddik can go just so high while he's alive. After his astalkus, he can rise. In spirit, he can rise much higher. Abinadol said that he has reached the madrega, where it's impossible to go any higher in the physical form. Therefore, the Abinadol said, I yearn very much to strip myself of this body, to release the neshama, my soul, that it can rocket upwards to reach the greater heights that are possible without being encumbered by the physical being. And I must do it because I cannot stand. It's impossible to remain stat in one madrega. I cannot remain status quo. I must keep moving up, and therefore it is imperative that my soul leaves the body. I must be nostalgic. This was just before the Benazal Stalkus. He knew it reached that point. Gemara says some people reach a point where they've got to leave the world at a young age. They've covered their whole lifetime possibility in a youthful age, and they must leave. Benazal, his time, at the time he was 38 and a half years old, he'd reached the point of impossibility to go any further. The next paragraph refers to a Teda in Kutei Maran. Kutei Maran Tanina, chapter Peches, 88, second volume of the Kutei Maran. Benazal said to the Nelsonzal once, today there appeared to me an angel, a new angel. Of course, to a tzaddik, it's nothing new that the angels come to a tzaddik. The Anavi appears before Tzaddikim, especially the Tzaddik Emes. This time Abinadol said, I saw a new angel now, and I even know his name. And this angel has a number of subordinates who serve him, and each one carries a shofar in his hand, and they blow shofar. They blow tekiah, that's one long, teruah, nine short, and tekiah. This is called tarat. Tekiah shofar, we call this tarat. Tekiah, through what tekiah is called tarat. This is what they blow, and they continue to dig. They dig and they search for avedas. Avedas means lost items. They search for lost items. This is explained more in the Kutei Maran. Avinadol says that the digging for lost items refers to this sound of the shofar, tarat, is Rosh Tevis, plus it can tell him, ta'avas l'shoyim teved. The taivus, evil desires of Nishoyim, bring about to Avedis, which means that even the Nishoyim themselves, because of their evil taivus, they become lost. They go lost. What happens to them? They get lost. We'll see where they go when they get lost. Or they lose treasures. Because of their taivus, treasures are lost, spiritual treasures. It is these items, these treasures, these lost spiritual items that these malachim dig for, they blow shofar for, and there's a great simcha when they find these lost articles, these avedis. Avedis, lost articles. When malachim find these lost articles, there's a big simcha that erupts, and they're overjoyed at having found these avedis, which come about through the taivus of the Shon. Now, the Ben Adol says to elaborate in the Kutim Anan that there is a din, a halacha, in the Torah. You're not allowed to cut down a tree that bears fruit. A fruit-bearing tree is alive. It's productive. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit-bearing tree because a tree is like a human being. It bears fruit. It's living. You're going to cut off something which is producing life. That's, in a sense, like killing. You're destroying a living thing. By the same token, Din says too, separate Din, you're not allowed to pull off leaves from a branch just to destroy it. Of course, on Shabbos, that's a major malacha. Even during the week, there are people who walk by bushes and pull off trees, pull off leaves from these bushes, or break branches off. It's a matter of indifference to it. Subconsciously, they don't concentrate on it. They don't realize that they are destroying something which is alive. These are leaves which are alive. Not only that, but these leaves live with a purpose. They actually serve Hashem. Every blade of grass, every leaf on a bush, every leaf on a tree, davens to Hashem constantly. It's a regular tefillah that goes to Hashem from these living things. Person is destroying them unless there is a purpose. Purpose is to preen the tree or the bushes, to make them grow better, you cut them. However, just to destroy is a sin. Ben Adol says the same thing too. There is an isur, it is a sin, but also more so, it's very dangerous for a person to eat a fruit of a tree that is not ripe. A fruit that is not yet ripe, it is a sin to eat. Because when it is not yet ripe, the fruit was taken off a tree before it was ripe, that fruit is still growing. That fruit is still receiving nourishment. It is actually breathing. The fruit breathes life from the tree to which it is attached. So when you pull a fruit off a tree, when it is not yet ripe, not ready to be taken off, literally this fruit is still gasping for breath. Gasping, it's dying, seeking the breath that it needs for life. When it is ripe, it requires no more life to it. It's ready to be eaten. That's the nature of the purpose of the fruit. When it's not yet ripe, this fruit needs life to sustain it, to make it grow, to reach its peak. So when it's pulled off a tree, when it's not ripe, the fruit actually gasps for breath of life. Ben Adol says, now no. You should know this as fact, that when a person eats from this fruit, that fruit that is gasping for breath and life will actually draw its life from the person who is eating it. So a person is putting his own life in danger. Imagine that this fruit becomes a man-eating plant. Eating a non-ripened fruit is that dangerous to a person because this fruit keeps drawing. It has a magnetic pull. Tremendous power that pulls life for itself so it can pull its life from the person who is eating it. That's how dangerous it is to eat a fruit that is not fully ripened. What should a person do? A person pulls a non-ripened fruit from a tree, and let it lie, either lie in the sun until it becomes ready, or let it stay for a while until actually this gasping comes to an end. And the fruit actually dies, the need for life comes to an end, and then it could be, or there can be a way to eat a fruit that is not ripe yet, a fruit that is actually still alive. If a person says a bracha over that fruit with such a tremendous kavana that he is able to be misaken to perfect the fruit with the bracha along. Whatever the fruit could have gotten from the tree, the fruit receives now from this bracha. The person must be an actual tzaddik, be able to say a bracha with such intentions, knowledge of how to say it, and how to perfect the life of this fruit, misaken this fruit with the bracha. In addition, a tzaddik could draw from this fruit actual treasures. Fruit itself has treasures in it. It has this partial life, and a tzaddik, by eating this fruit, can actually draw from this fruit life and these avedas. Where do these avedas go to? They go into these fruit. They become embedded in them. The tzaddik can draw out this life of the fruit and these avedas, these lost articles. These lost articles that are actually souls, the good part of the soul of Erosha, or lost souls will go into these fruit and require a tikkun, perfection, and this the tzaddik can do. Of course, we understand this must take a very great tzaddik, because usually any person who's not an amoritz, who's good, when he eats meat, why is a human being, a Jew, allowed to eat meat? After all, meat is alive, an animal is something which is alive. What gives a human the right to take another's life, even though it's only an animal? How is a human allowed to kill an animal, take its life, eat its meat? The answer is because the human is doing the animal a favor. By eating the meat of the animal becomes absorbed into the human body. Anything you eat, digest, becomes absorbed as part of the body. So you are mala, you're raising, you're elevating this animal into a human. It becomes part of a human now instead of an animal. By doing the animal that favor, you're not hurting the animal, you are improving its lot. You're benefiting it. Here, there are four levels of creation. Top level is human, the next level is animal, the third level is vegetation, fourth level is earth, inanimate. Vegetation is two levels below a human being. A tzaddik is able to raise vegetation or fruit two levels below to the level of human. So great a step does this fruit or vegetation take. A tzaddik does this by elevating the life of this fruit plus the lost neshamas that are found in it. These are the avedas we spoke about that a tzaddik finds. By the way, the man says that it does not help for a fruit that is not ripe. It does not help to cook that fruit. By cooking it, you're not going to kill it. You will not destroy this living vampire, this living monster that can take this man-eating plant or fruit. You must wait until the fruit ceases to draw life. Now, go back to this point. The Benel says, in that Teda, know that there is a malach. This is what the Benel referred to here in his words of Nosazal. There is a malach, an angel who is appointed over others, and they all carry shofaris. They blow the tarat, kia through a tkia, which refers to the lost articles of the Rishoyim, Taivas Rishoyim Tevet. In fact, there are even a case where Tzaddik too loses. Tzaddik too can lose at times. Yesh Tzaddik Eved. It's a case where Tzaddik too loses Bitzitkai. However, the loss of the Tzaddik is temporary, and he does something which lowers himself. He lost a notch in his level. But when the tzaddik does tshuva, he returns, corrects his misaken step, then, in turn, he finds, by doing tshuva, he goes to a much higher level before. He now finds these avedas, these lost articles, and there is a very great simcha that ensues. Now, in that teda, Nosanzel at the end says that Teda is combined with previous Tedas. They actually are all one. Benazel begins first with the Teda that speaks about the Seid Kavanas Elul. The month of Elul has a special segula. What is the month of Elul? A special month that pertains to tshuva. Person does tshuva. The month of Elul, we find, especially the Benazel says there, the Elul is tshuva or chas v'sholom pegam abris. This means where there is Rechmon Litzlan Zerel Avatola, this Zerel Avatola, it's Pigam Abyss, that means a lost article. Because this is life that is lost, potential life that is lost. These are Avedas. Speaking about these Avedas, Elul is a skula to correct these lost articles. And it's followed immediately by Rosh Hashanah, which is the blowing of the shofar. And Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the shofar, completes the item of tshuva. Then there is the simcha. Pasuk says Rosh Hashanah person should be b'simcha, achu ichlu b'simcha lachmecha. Rosh Hashanah be b'simcha because you must have bitachon, faith, that on Rosh Hashanah with true tshuva that you've gone through for Elul, and Rosh Hashanah you're inscribed and sealed in the Book of Life, if, of course, you are wise enough to be attached to the Tzadik Emes, Tzadikim who are sealed on Rosh Hashanah in the Sefer Chaim. So those Tzedas, speaking about El Shoshana Tkiyas, are actually one with this, and with the statement about the fruit where these Avedas are found, and the search for these Avedas by this Malach, and then with his assistance, his aids, all referring to the Tzadik Emes, who seeks and finds these Avedas. And what a simcha it is when a lost soul, for whom there is no hope at all, through his own efforts, suddenly the Tzadik finds his soul, seeks him out, finds him, and elevates his soul, and brings his soul back as Mesakin that soul. The simcha through Tarat, Tkiyas that are blown in. Zayin HaKadosh says that the Tzadik Emes, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Tzadik Emes, who was Begimatria, the names of Hashem, Kael Shakai. Kael Shakai refers to the Sfidus. Kael is Chesed, Shakai is Yisoid, Zayinapin covers the six Sfidus from Chesed to Yisoid. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Vav, covers these six Sfidus, therefore he is called Kael Shakai, which means the Tzadik Emes, carries the name of Hashem. Now, Kael Shakai, when the Tzadik Emes is complete, when is the Tzadik Emes complete? Not when he sits by himself and does mitzvahs, but when he goes out, as Moshe Rabbeinu did, to search for the Eid of Rav, to search for the lost souls, to be kadigan, to bring them in. That Tzadik has fulfilled his mission. He is complete. He is Moloi. The Miloi of Kael Shakai is Begimatria Tarat. Blowing of the Shofar Tarat signifies the Simcha. The Tzadik has become fulfilled because he has found these Neshamas, these Avedas. He was Mesaking them and brought them back. Again, of course, this shows, imagine then how a person should never give up hope. A person feels lost. Do not be depressed because there is someone searching for you. Benazel said that one of the main tefillahs of his bedidus, young child, once asked Benazel, what should I say in his bedidus? What is the best words I could say? Benazel said to him, the last pasuk in Tehillim, long chapter, Kuf Yutes. Pasuk is Ta'isi Kiseh Oved Bakesh Avdecha Kim Tasecha Leshechachti. Hashem, I have wandered from you just as a sheep wanders in a flock and gets lost. Ta'isi, I've wandered, I've gotten lost. Kiseh Oved, like a lamb that is lost. But Bakesh Avdecha, search for me. Kim Tasecha Leshechachti, I have not forgotten your call. If the lamb recalls, remembers the sound of the shepherd's voice, be brought back by the shepherd's voice. Hashem, I have not forgotten your call. Call the words of the Torah, the words of the Tzadik Emes. So when a person feels that he is lost, he still should not be depressed. Know that we still have that Chevel Dikdusha, that rope tied around us, which the Tzadik Emes holds on to. We are not being forsaken. At no time are we abandoned, even if we are lost. The search is never given up for. The Tzadik Emes continues to dig, to search, to ferret out those lost neshamas. So there is always hope, just not to forget the Kol, the voice of Kedusha, the voice of the Tzadik Emes, the words of the Tzadik Emes. This is the greatest Dischaskus possible. We see why this is tied together with the former statement that Benazel to always be the simcha. Benazel said, I know of certain chachmas. Chachmas means items of wisdom. Wisdom is something that ordinary people are not aware of, something that is very deep. And when a person hears something that is deep, wisdom, called a chiddush, for example, something new, then there is a feeling of satisfaction, of gladness, because he feels that something missing now has been returned to him. There's a joyous feeling when a person learns a blat gemara, and he gets to a tesis kasha, and then that kasha is answered, he feels fulfilled. Something very happy about that. So this is called chachmas ha-Torah, wisdom of Torah. There are also times when a person has other types of wisdom. A person learns things that are new. He learns mathematical tricks, or he learns other types of wisdom like music. He enjoys a new knowledge, a new type of knowledge from which he can benefit, or astrology, stars, study of the stars, any kind of chachma that could satisfy, satiate a person. So it is possible, very logical and possible, that a person might be very hungry at the time. He's ready to go for his lunch or his supper. He's listening to a chiddush. He forgets about the fact that he's hungry. Some people, of course, it's very difficult to do that. But for many or most, a person could actually forget, stop feeling the pangs of hunger, and just listen enthralled to an interesting story, fascinating story that makes him forget his hunger, or a chiddush, something new, a chachma which he did not know before. Menadel said, I know chachmas, that if I would begin to reveal to people these chachmas, little of them, then it is possible that the pleasure of achieving the knowledge of these chachmas would be so great that people could actually live without food or drink. Literally, get along without food or drink. They could sustain themselves on the chachmas. Now, this we can understand temporarily, person's feelings, pangs of hunger. But how do you feed the body? Body must receive nourishment, a bloodstream. Different parts of the body require being fed. Person fasts for a period of time, he could die. He needs nourishment. And yet, it is possible there are such types of wisdom that are so rich that they can actually serve a physical purpose too. This is difficult for us to conceive because we don't have that kind of wisdom. And as I said, there is such a chachma that is so wealthy in itself that it expands from the semi-spiritual, mental, to the physical. A person can live on this wisdom alone. He can be lost on a desert island without any trace of food or in the desert and sustain himself with this wisdom alone. It's difficult for us to conceive of such a thing, but of course, it's simple to understand that a tzaddik emes has much greater powers than this. He can translate the wisdom into something that is physically nourishing. This abundance of this power he possesses. Not only that, but we even go further, that a person could live through this wisdom, and at times a person can practically die also from this wisdom. Because it is possible for a person to hear something that is so pleasant, like one hearing a special type of music, music that is very eerie, that is ethereal, a heavenly type of music, where a person would just dissipate from pleasure. Or he can become so ecstatic from this pleasure that his soul could actually leave him. A person can die from ecstasy. Thrill and ecstasy can actually kill a person. So the Ben Adel said this wisdom is so great that a person might actually die of ecstasy because his soul would yearn to leave him, to join, to merge with this great power of wisdom revealed to him. The days of the Ben Adel was no different than in former generations. At all times, the arch enemy of the Tzaddik Emes was the Satan himself. Gemara says too, the Satan himself will forego his attacks against the entire Jewish nation. It's his pleasure to make Jews commit sins. He'll let them all go, and he'll attack the Tamidei Chachamim, learned scholars. More so, he's willing to let them all go just to get at the Tzaddik Emes. If he can just win against the Tzaddik Emes, that's all he wants. Victory against his archenemy. So, in all generations we find that the difficulty that Tzaddik Emes had where the Satan tried to bring about enmity against the Tzaddik Emes through other tzaddikim. At the time of Avraham Avinu, the whole world was against him. They accused Avraham Avinu of being an Epictetus, exact opposite of the truth. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest leader, the shepherd, the true, trusty shepherd, most loyal ever to Hashem, still, many battles that he go through in his lifetime, and so many enemies that rose up against him. But the Satan injected poison into their minds against Moshe Rabbeinu. They suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of the lowest type of crimes possible, and there were so much friction among the Jews against Moshe Rabbeinu. Or the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik were all tzaddikim, and they sold their own brother to slavery, their brother who was the tzaddik emes, or Shaul HaMelech, who was the tzaddik, too, complete tzaddik, and still he attacked David HaMelech. This is all done by the venom injected through the Satan himself. In all generations this held true. We find that in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the leading rabbis at that time, the Peskin, the rabbis of Shulchan Aruch, banded together to ostracize, to put Nechayt on the Baal Shem HaKadosh. One of those lines, how could they, very famous names of Shulchan Aruch, how could they have fallen into such a misconception of the truth? To think that the Baal Shem Tov was against the principles they stood for, against religious principles, Chas V'Shalom, but this is how much they sought to work to against the Tzaddik Emes. So too, in the time of Rabbeinu Zal, we have the main battle against Rabbeinu Zal at that time. This was carried on later against Rav Nosson Zal. 5 years of suffering, of torture, Rav Nosson Zal went through by the Chilkim, the Misnagdim. But to this day, there is still bubbling under the surface, and sometimes it surfaces, the enmity, the hostility against Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim, Rabbeinu Zal's teachings. Rabbeinu Zal once spoke about this, about these Misnagdim, this Chilkim against him, many at that time. Rabbeinu Zal explained to his Talmidim, the fact is that these Misnagdim, these Chilkim, are not really opposed to me. They do not really hate me. They do not consider me as their enemy. What then? They have conjured up in their minds a certain figure. And this figure, with many faults, is the one they're against. Now they have mistaken me for that figure, that person. It's a mistake in identity. They've identified me with another type of individual, and therefore they are chilek and misnagged against me. Now this happens many times. It's possible for people to make that mistake, that type of error, and this is why one person can suddenly begin to feel enmity to his best friend sometimes. Because he imagines in his mind that there are things being done wrong which really don't exist. That way he inflames a hatred that is unwarranted. Here, the Benedict said they have created a figure, and this figure is filled with faults. They are out to destroy this figure. They've placed me in that position. They imagine me being that figure, but it's not me personally they're against. They're against that certain type of figure that they've created in their minds. Kutei Halacha says, this is the Olam HaTemudos, where a world of fantasy where things are switched around. It seems to be switched, but it really isn't. It's only fantasy. For example, we have in Sikuri Maisiyas, story Rabbeinu Zal tells of the two infants that were born, the prince born to the queen, and the slave born to the maid. And then one of the nurses switched these two children. The slave was brought up as the prince, and the prince was brought up as a slave. During the years, eventually, it's a long story, and it's put in Macias, anyone can read it there. Eventually, this was found out that it had to come to the surface because the attributes of royalty are inborn. So the prince showed his true colors eventually, and the slave showed that he was a slave. The truth came out. But at the time, or in the beginning, initial time, people gave the respect to the slave as though he were a king, a prince, and the prince was treated very rudely as though he were a slave. Vasenzal says, this is the Elam HaTemudos. What was the action of the people? In multitude, in reference to these two individuals, they called the slave prince, and they called the prince slave. Was the real prince now a slave? Was the real slave now a prince? Of course not. It's impossible to change their identity. Identity is one that is permanent. The prince permanently remained a prince, and the slave remained a slave. What was changed only was the name. They now named a prince slave, and named the slave prince. So it was only by name alone that the error came about. Because of that name, meaning they imagined, they named the slave prince, they thought that he was a prince because of this false name, they imagined he was the prince, they gave him the honors that did not belong to him. But this is only because they imagined this, so it was a vision conjured up by them, but a mistaken identity. Exactly this, Nelsonzel says, the case here too, where they imagine that the Tzadik Emes is one who does wrong, is one who is fit to be chelik against, and that's why in all generations, when we had these machlekas, when they were so opposed to fire opposition against the Baal Shem HaKadosh, they wanted to put him in chedim because they thought Baal Shem HaKadosh was someone else. Had they known who he really was, this could never have happened. Even the worst misnagdim, the worst chelkim, do so because they imagine that the person they're chelik against is someone else. But in actuality, they could never change this fact. This Rabbeinu Zal said, "Is chelkim against me are making an error. It is their mistake. In their minds, they've created a vision, an illusion of someone who is bad, and they've placed me, my figure, into that form that they've created. That's why they are chelik against me." And of course, this cannot ever be switched. There's no way to switch the true identity of a person. The Tzadik Emes remains a Tzadik Emes, and no matter what these misnagdim will say about him, his Kedusha remains forever. Same as Kavi Yochel, when you have the Kefirim, the atheists who speak against the existence of Hashem, Chas Hashem, they will be destroyed eventually. The Kavod of Hashem is never dented, Chas Hashem. The Kavod of Hashem remains always unblemished. So too the Kavod of the Tzadik Emes and truth remains solid. None of these Rishoyim or Chalkim or Snagdim can do harm to the honor of the Tzadik Emes. It's only a light that is temporarily hidden. Mashiach comes, eventually light will come forth and all will recognize it. Ashrei to those who don't wait for Mashiach's coming to recognize the light of the Tzadik. Those who don't wait until after passing and find out the truth in Olam Haba will get this during their lifetime. Ashrei to those who have this Amunah B'Emes and the Tzadik Emes. Ashreina that we are Zechet to be classified as Breslava, as followers of the Tzadik Emes. We should be Zechet throughout our entire lifetime to continue to remain solidly entrenched in this Amunah Shlema and to have this Lonetzach forever. That's a chus we should be Zechet to see the coming of Shia Zikenu. Hey, amen. Amen.